Thank you all for being here. You will be delighted to hear that this is my first presentation and you will all bear witness to it. So today I'm going to speak about bud abscission dynamics in pistachio and as a function of branch carbohydrate status and embryo growth. So away we go. But before delving into the experiment and research that we completed for this project, I'm going to spend a few minutes discussing pistachios for those of you who aren't familiar with this sort of very California-specific crop. To start with, alternate bearing in pistachio. Pistachios, like many fruit and nut crops, are prone to alternate bearing, and this can be seen at an industry and sort of statewide level. So this graph here shows historical U.S. pistachio yields. On the x-axis, we have the years 2000 through 2017. And then on the y-axis, we have yield in pounds per bearing acre. You can see the range from 0 to 4,000. And excluding instances where weather events, well, that was poor circling there, but weather events impacted yields, it is quite clear that years of heavy crops are followed by years of light crop and vice versa. And to understand why pistachios alternate bear, it is necessary to look a little bit at the bearing habit of the tree. So pistachios bear fruit on the one-year-old wood, which you could probably see about here, where there are no new leaves. And then the new or current year's growth, from about here down, contains the buds which will form crop the following year. What this means is that an individual shoot is supporting fruits on one-year-old growth and buds on the current season's growth, which are critical for fruit clusters in the following year. What we see is that buds will generally abscise from the current year's growth, which contain fruit clusters. So they'll abscise from those shoots that have fruit clusters, resulting in non-bearing branches the following season. Understanding this bearing habit is important, but the other interesting thing about pistachios is that these clusters that you see here of fully sized nuts will exist on the tree from about late April through the rest of the season. The growth of the kernel inside of each shell, however, is a better indicator of when the clusters are transporting and using energy for development. So from the time the shell develops through about mid to late June, there's very little embryo activity, as we can see here. And then in late June through July, embryo growth sort of takes up and takes off and the nuts begin to fill. And then we can see that through August and up until the nuts are harvested, they'll fill completely and cause shell split. This embryo growth through late June and July correlates to the most significant period of bud abscission on the new growth branches. So there's considerable research to suggest that there is carbohydrate competition and essentially hormonal signals interacting to produce bud abscission. In the 70s and 80s, Crane, Wolpert, and Ferguson demonstrated that bud abscission correlated with kernel growth and carbohydrate status. Span has found more recently that there was a transient drop in carbohydrate in branches with a heavy crop. And more recently, Marino found that carbohydrate in bearing shoots is 26% lower than in non-bearing shoots. Carlson is also demonstrated that over a 20-year period spanning multiple locations, the strongest predictor of yield at the orchard-wide level could be determined by the previous year's yield. And our preliminary data from the first year of our study strengthened this hypothesis by demonstrating that embryo growth is significantly correlated to bud abscission. On the horizontal axis, we have the embryo fresh weight in grams, and then on the vertical axis, you can see percent bud drop. Embryo growth, seen as the increase in fresh weight as we move along the x-axis, correlates to the increase in percent bud drop of each branch. So for 2017, the second year of our study, we wanted to further examine bud abscission as a function of kernel growth and carbohydrate status within individual shoots. And so I'll go briefly over materials and methods before results and conclusions. We have we used 8 individual trees as replications and then selected 10 branches Within these trees, five were bearing branches and five were non-bearing branches. We counted the number of buds at the beginning of the season and then again at harvest after abscission was complete. And we also measured branch carbohydrate status using the branches from adjacent trees at the beginning and at the end of the season. So thankfully, measuring bud abscission is relatively straightforward to quantify. The image on your left shows a bearing branch which has lost its buds distal to the nut cluster, and then the image on the right shows a non-bearing branch with live buds on the current season's growth. And by counting buds before abscission starts at the beginning of the season and again at harvest, we can determine total percent abscission for each branch. And what do we find out? Well, we found the average percent bud drop of bearing and non-bearing branches for each of our eight trees, our eight replications. On the horizontal axis, we have the individual replications, the trees, and on the y-axis, we have percent abscission. The blue bars are bearing branches, and the orange bars are non-bearing branches. And it's clear that abscission is higher on the bearing branches. Non-bearing branch abscission is consistently lower, meaning that the non-bearing branches will retain more of their buds for the following season. We also measured the starch accumulation of the branches at the beginning and the end of the season as it related to the bearing status and age of the wood. So on the horizontal axis, you can see the beginning of the season before abscission and then the end of the season after abscission was complete. The vertical axis shows the amount of starch in milligrams per gram of dry weight. The color of the line indicates the bearing status of the branch. So red shows the bearing branches and green shows the non-bearing branches. And then the line fill indicates the age of the wood. So solid lines are showing one-year-old wood, and a dashed line shows the current season's growth. By first comparing the red to the green, we can see that the bearing branches, the red lines, don't increase in the amount of carbohydrate to the same extent as the non-bearing, the green lines. This is logical in that bearing branches have a carbohydrate sink where nuts are taking and using the energy gained from photosynthesis on the new growth. Non-bearing branches will see greater increases in carbohydrates because they don't have this same carbohydrate sink. And then we can also compare the new wood, so the dashed lines, to the one-year-old wood, the solid lines, and see that the current year's growth will have a greater starch content than one-year-old wood throughout the growing season. This is also logical in that current year's growth holds the actively photosynthesizing leaves. The takeaway from this graph is that in bearing branches, there is low carbohydrate gain because the carbohydrates are transferred into the nuts. And in non-bearing branches, there is a carbohydrate gain that will support crop production the following year because these buds did not abscise. So this can be visually represented, and this here supports our data and shows that the presence of nuts causes a depletion of the leaf's resources from current year's growth. And the surrounding dark green branches are non-bearing branches and will likely retain their buds for the following season production. And then the implications of these results is that what we saw on the industry scale in terms of yearly alternate bearing trends can actually be seen as initiated at the individual branch level. So our data from this experiment supports the previous research that crop load existing on one-year-old wood will determine the bearing load in the following year. And this is due to the nut clusters acting as carbohydrate sink and not allowing an individual branch to support both bearing the current year's nuts and buds for the next year. Bearing branch synchronization within trees and across orchards and across regions is the primary cause of the industry-wide alternate bearing, which we saw on that earlier first slide. So with this, we're able to make a few recommendations for growers using the results and conclusions. There are people who are continuing to research genetic and molecular techniques for minimizing alternate bearing. But there are a few cultural practices that we can suggest to reduce the tendency for significant on and off years. 2018 work by Beattie and Ferguson suggests that a combination of rootstock selection and mechanical pruning can alter the ratio of fruiting to non-fruiting branches so as to reduce the yearly fluctuations in yields. There have not so far been any successful trials which show that fruit thinning can effectively reduce alternate bearing, but thinning trials may continue to be explored in an attempt to understand the optimal crop yield. With that, I would like to thank all of our cooperators, and also a quick thanks to Dr. Ferguson for helping me get to and through this conference and project. I'm very happy that I have time for questions, if anyone has any.
So you can ask a lot.
Oh, well, great. Yes. So the question was, are there plant hormones involved in the incision? And we would say that there are likely indications that plant hormones are involved in the incision process. There's been a little bit of research showing that ABA wasn't necessarily involved, but that's that doesn't indicate that there is no presence of plant hormones. I can't remember exactly which study showed that ABA was not the primary hormone, but perhaps you remember.
I got several calls this year again every year about that yellowing around the nut clusters. And just more of a comment. Years ago, I worked with one of our arranged American grower, and we tried to spray everything we could on several varieties, you know, every foliar you could think of. Couldn't change that yellow. So I think that's mostly carbohydrate that we're talking about as far as yellowing as opposed to nutrients, or is that any idea?
Well, we were discussing this and suggesting that it was probably related more to nitrogen and to nutrients, which comes at sort of the expense of having less available nutrients in the branch. I know Julia has done some work or has seen some work on this as well. So I wouldn't say it's necessarily directly related to the carbohydrates, but more shows this transfer of energy away from those leaves. So this study was a complementary study to a biostimulant. We were looking at biostimulants and seeing how those reduce bud abscission. So we were also looking at trying to increase the photosynthetic capacity of those leaves.
So you showed the relationship between kernel weight and abscission, I think. Is that right? Is that so embryo fresh weight? So that's grams per what?
That was just the so this was from the 2016 trial or the 2016
microgram dry weight.
Just
so that's
the gram of each individual kernel.
Okay, so the size, basically
the size of the kernel, of the embryo.
Okay, so branches with larger kernels.
And you can see this. And you can see this is like through the growing season.
I see.
So at several different dates.
Okay, I got it. But then you just mentioned the biostimulants and photosynthesis. I know that's not this study, but can you tell us kind of.
So what we were looking at was to see how biostimulants and then also a plant growth regulator may reduce bud abscission. We didn't find that these formulations were necessarily going to be effective at reducing bud abscission, but they have shown some promise for other tree crop use in terms of there's been some studies down in Kern County using them when pistachios have a soil-borne disease, they could help protect the crop. And also, there's been some sign that they can increase trunk diameter in pistachios. So while the formulations aren't necessarily perfect for bud abscission, they may have other uses in tree crops where they're not typically used. Decreasing each individual. So there have been some thinning trials, which would be removing the nuts. What you can see, though, is that most of these clusters that you would see, only about 50% or less than 50, or more than 50, but not a significant, 50% may be blanks already, so removing enough to both compensate for the number of blank nuts and compensate for carbohydrate uptake has yet to be successful.